All right, we're looking at our topical series, continuing with that, and tonight I want to just share a few thoughts on prayer. In many ways, prayer is a mystery to us. We live in a universe where God has ordained in all eternity whatsoever comes to pass, and yet James tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so it's very difficult sometimes for us to understand its significance and its relevance to the life of the believer. Now it's important to realize that we don't pray because we understand how all the details between God's sovereignty and human responsibility connect and how they relate. That's not why we pray. Rather, we pray because throughout Scripture we are exhorted to pray, and prayer is exampled by many different saints, especially by Jesus Christ. And so he is our example and illustration. Thus, it's a massive blunder to underestimate the importance and the significance of prayer in the working of God's kingdom. Actually, it's impossible to explain just how necessary prayer is and how profitable it is to our lives. In a very real sense, we are paupers. We have nothing. Whereas everything of value resides in Christ alone. And it is through faith that we come to realize that whatever we need is found in Him. Everything we desire and want to be is to be sought from and in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it was the Father's good pleasure to make all the fullness dwell in Him, and so we are to go to Him in order to access this fullness. It is God's will that we should request all that we need from Him. It's nothing but pride or stubbornness in our own hearts that refuses to take advantage of this bounty that God has freely made available to us. We have been given free access to a treasure beyond measure, and all we need is it's available just for the asking. And yet, we indeed struggle to utilize this resource. And many times we can testify that we even ignore it and feel very confident in going along and thinking that we have adequate resources in ourselves for the task of living the life before Christ and glorifying Him. It is through prayer that we possess the riches that God has laid up for us. Prayer was not ordained for God's benefit, but for our own. It's not as though God needed reminding of what was to be done, but rather in His wisdom He designed prayer for our benefit. And it's vital for our spiritual well-being that we realize everything that benefits us comes from God and needs to be acknowledged through requests and thanksgiving in prayer. So prayer is communing with the Lord, and this is the heartbeat of relationship, and that is what Christianity is about, being in relationship with our Lord. Our hearts are filled with love through communion with Him and fired up to serve Him when we self-consciously dwell in His presence and look to Him for all that we need and do. When our hearts are open before Him, there is much less chance of entertaining such things that would mislead us from His path or even embarrass us in His presence. For we deal with such things when we are in communion and fellowshipping with Him. Communion and gratitude are inseparable. And when we express our gratitude to Him for all things, we become even more aware of how dependent we are and how awesome He is. And so it's through that communion that these things are worked out in us and through us. So we ask, does God need our prayer in order to be able to do anything? Are God's hands tied if we don't pray? And you'll get some people who would think that and promote that. But obviously that's not true. God needs no one in order to fulfill His will. So then why should we pray? I believe it is God's plan that mere humans play an important part in His upworking of His plan. That's what He has ordained. That's what He desires for the unfolding of His kingdom. He wants mere humans to be engaged in that work. What a privilege for us to be able to intercede and to pray for the manifestation of His will. So we should not only obey the command of God to pray, but we should be amazed at being allowed to pray. It's an incredible incentive we have to pray, namely that God has said that we can boldly come into His presence and have a real, though mysterious, part to play in the outworking of His purposes. So it is God's kingdom, it is only through His power, that anything is achieved, and yet He wants us to have a hand in that. He works everything according to His will, and yet our part is significant. We have a part. When we intercede and we bring our requests, when we bring our supplications before Him, when we groan before Him, that has a significant part to play in the unfolding and manifestation of His eternal and glorious plan. so significant in fact that the Lord has granted us an eternal role in His purposes by making us joint heirs with Christ to His throne. So we need to be encouraged that prayer is significant, prayer is vital, and we need to be inspired to persevere and to pray, appreciating what an incredible privilege it is to have this interaction and have this access to the throne of God. In Acts 1:14, we are told of a group of Christians who knew the Lord's will. He had told them what was going to take place, and then He ascended from them, and then they were constantly praying for this to come to pass. They were completely devoted to this task that He had revealed to them. And these disciples didn't only pray, but they persevered in that. They continued waiting and praying for 10 days about that which the Lord had called them to pray about. The whole Christian life is one of perseverance. We must not become weary in well-doing. Thus, we must not become weary in prayer either. We must persevere right on till the end. Once we know the will of the Lord, we must not give up. We must persevere in our praying and interceding for the Lord's will to be done. Prayer is ordained for our sakes, not for God's sake. Prayer is an act of worship, and it is through prayer that our hearts learn to seek and to love and to serve God. Prayer also helps us to be aware of what is going on in our own hearts. And as we still ourselves in the Lord's presence and allow the light of the Spirit to search us, we are made aware of our own sin, also strengthened in our stand to stand for and promote righteousness. It is in prayer that we are able to reflect upon God's goodness to us, which helps us to be thankful and able to appreciate more fully His grace, His kindness and His glory, of His incredible love and undeserving favor that He showers upon us as we meditate upon who He is and who we are, as we look upon how far we've come short of His standard and His glory in the light of His presence, knowing according to His word how accepted we are. We kind of appreciate, well, how do I even put into words and feelings the magnitude of His love and mercy toward us? And then there's thanksgiving and gratitude flows from our heart, and it's in that context of relating on all those different areas that we grow in our communion with Him. Moreover, we see too how the Lord encourages us through our involvement in His plans. For when we have prayed intently for something, we are filled with a great delight when we see those requests being granted. And then we can even marvel at that, as even as we like to delight in our children, marveling at little things we might do for them if they have asked something special and it happens, how they might rejoice. We are the same when God does something that we have requested and we see it manifested. It builds our faith and our strength and our courage. Prayer also keeps God's providence before our eyes as we more and more deeply realize that He alone is in complete control and nothing comes to pass except what He ordains. Prayer provides strength and vitality to our lives. It renders us powerful, effective, and yet we often find ourselves thinking that there's no need. We don't need to pray. I'm sure we could all confess to that feeling in that sense. That prayer is of little value. It's not really going to do much. The Messiah has come, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And we are totally acceptable in God's sight through faith in Christ. And we have direct access to the very throne room of God because heaven and earth have been united. They have been reconciled through Christ. We have been exhorted to come boldly into the presence of the Creator and the Lord of the universe. We have been told to make our requests known with respect to seeking His kingdom and seeking His glory. We are to pray and earnestly labor for, believing that it will be accomplished, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we are told to have confidence in the effectiveness of our prayers, and that we are to pray without ceasing, knowing that the victory is ours in Christ. What a glorious task we have been given. A task that flows out of Christ's definitive victory over Satan and over all Satan's minions, where they have been openly paraded as a defeated army. And we're engaged in that battle, the aftermath, the mopping up of that glorious victory that Christ has established and manifested through His life and His victory on the cross, through His resurrection and ascension. Our prayer should flow out of a confidence that the Lord not only hears our petitions, but is ready to use His almighty power on our behalf. Too often our prayers are without any conscious awareness of the one we are addressing. They are without heartfelt belief that He will hear what we are saying, let alone that our requests will be granted. So we need to remember, as we come into communion with the Lord, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we must believe that it is the Lord of the universe that we come to in prayer, and that He is the one who made it possible for us to approach Him with such boldness through Christ. It is God who took the initiative in reconciling Himself to us, as Jesus told us in John 6:44, which He did because of His great love for us. Though we can come into the presence of the Almighty with boldness and are fully accepted by Him as His children and His eternal children for that fact, there is nothing in ourselves that makes us worthy in His eyes. The only basis for such access to the Lord of heaven and earth is through Jesus Christ. It is only by being in Christ that we gain access to the Father's throne. And we not only approach God's throne in the name of Jesus, but we also make our requests known in His name. And that's not just merely tacking on a mantra or something at the end of the prayer in Jesus' name as if it's a magical phrase similar to abracadabra or something like that. And we say, in Jesus' name I pray these things. But rather, to ask in Christ's name means being aware of how unworthy we are in ourselves and how utterly dependent we are upon Him for everything, which includes being in intimate relationship with Him through faith is in atoning work upon the cross. So when we sing in His name, we acknowledge there's nothing in me. I deserve nothing. I have no basis for even coming into the presence of God except through Christ. So that's one aspect of asking in His name. And so we're coming, we're asking only in His name. Our own name is worthless in God's presence. It also means that our requests are made in submission to the whole revelation of Christ that He has given to us. It is extremely foolish to think that prayer is something that God has given us so that we can fulfill our selfish ambitions and lusts and serve our own conception of what life should be like. To pray in Jesus' name is to know the will of the Lord and to pray in line with that for His glory and for His purposes. When we pray like this, Jesus assures us that His Father will grant our requests. Most assuredly, He hears from heaven and He will grant those requests. We exist for God's glory, and it is only in glorifying Him that we know the true meaning of life and experience satisfaction and contentment. Joy in life does not come from getting our prayers answered, but from being in intimate relationship with Christ, being one with Him, desiring what He desires and living in the way that He lived and lives. This is the only kind of lifestyle, or should be the only goal of our life, where true joy is experienced. The boundaries of what we should pray for are not to be determined by our meager understanding or our ability, but by the will and the power of God. And so, he who says to this mountain, be up and removed, it will be removed. If we pray it by faith, believing in Christ and the omnipotence and the power of God. Yet the big question is, how do we know all the things that God wants us to do? And what therefore will glorify Him? Christ gave the answer in John 16:24. He said, ask in my name. What do I need? What do I know? How do I know I can receive it? It's in my name. So, which means in His will, in accordance with what Christ has accomplished. Everything we need to know and do has been revealed and provided to us in and through Christ, all of which is now preserved for us as Scripture. As 2 Timothy 3:16-17 reveal. Moreover, the power to do what Christ has commanded was given to us in abundance at Pentecost. Joy is a product of obedience, and obedience is inseparable from prayer. We see the clear relationship between rejoicing and prayer in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says, rejoice evermore. And then he immediately adds, pray without ceasing. Our rejoicing and our praying, it's all in communion. It's in the understanding of who we are in Christ and the power that's ours and the purpose that we have and the significance in our lives. Our prayers are always to be in the name of Christ, which means in accordance with His revelation, as we've already said. Thus we see how vital it is to know the Scriptures, and together with having the enlightening of the Holy Spirit in order to know Christ and His will in an ever deeper way. Prayer is literally having a direct line with unlimited minutes or usage to the throne room of heaven, as we have access whenever we are, wherever we are, an unlimited amount of time we have on our card. Our minds need to be renewed with respect to the reality of the spiritual realm and how effective prayer is and what an important part we have to play through prayer in the outworking of God's plans. We are told that our weapons, and prayer is a major one of those, our weapons are mighty and powerful, according to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Thus we need to be encouraged that what we have is real, and we are able to wrestle with the powers of darkness, and we are able to throw down everything that exalts itself against Christ. Powers of darkness always try to resist the effectiveness of prayers, and one of the ways it does that is by distracting us from praying or convincing us that praying is irrelevant. This is because the powers of darkness realize how powerful prayer is. They realize how much destruction is wrought against their kingdom when God's people know how to pray, when they know His will, and they pray for this in faith, as James 5:16 tells us. God has ordained prayer to play a vital part in the success of His kingdom. Whatever we do or teach, if it is going to bear fruit in the kingdom, it needs to rest upon prayer. Even if there's nothing we can do to help physically in some situation, we can still be in the center of that battle through prayer. And we ought to be. Prayer plays a significant part in God's purposes, and He has graciously made a way for our involvement in all the affairs of His kingdom, no matter who we are or where we are. And may the Lord by His Spirit enable us to be raised up as prayer warriors and to enter into the heat of the battle with Him, understanding what we are doing and truly being engaged in the fierceness of the battle. The Lord is our helper. Therefore, what can men do to us? Recalling the creative power of God not only helps calm our fears when we are faced with a strong enemy, but it also helps us to pray with confidence that He is suppressing all who oppose His will. We need to pray in faith, believing in God's willingness to help and the ability to do even above what we are able to imagine, what we can even contemplate in our own minds. So often we don't see past the actual words that we are praying and thinking about, and we imagine that that's the fullness of the meaning of prayer, and we think that it's completed when the last word is said, as opposed to realizing those are, we can only talk in pictures because we can't understand it, but sending out this vibrations or stimulation into the universe where it is accomplishing its end. God is working and using that according to His wisdom and by His design in order to bring about and fulfill His purposes. Faith is having sure confidence in that which we have not seen. Our sure confidence rests in God's promises. He is our rock. He is our foundation and fortress and our salvation. He is a very present help in a time of need. He is our shepherd and protector, and nothing is able to separate us from His love. Nothing can pluck us from His hand. Our greatest desire should be to be found in Christ, and nothing be compared to this. So our minds need to be renewed in this area so that we realize that a vibrant Christian life is not measured by what is around us, or by what we have, or by what we can do, but it is found in Christ, by being in relationship with Him, and thus made one with His truth and with His power. To be in Christ means all the host of heaven and the almighty power of God is made available to us through prayer. It is at our disposal just for the asking. Prayer is as vital to serving Christ as breathing is to life, and prayer makes us one with God's power because it enables us to tap directly into His power source. And then, although this is a mystery, yet the greater mystery is our own reluctance to utilize this resource in our labors for the kingdom. I think it's part of it is our rational mind that demands some kind of answers to certain details before we can truly believe what is true. And a vital part, whether we're doing apologetics, whether we're doing any kind of understanding of Scripture, is that God's Word as it is revealed, that is the truth, that is the starting place, and then our minds come into line with that after that. That is what is true, and as we try and bring our minds into submission to that truth, we understand that we believe in order to know, to understand, and that's vital when it comes to the area of prayer as well, where we go by faith on what God has said is happening, what is involved, what is effectual and fervent, and how this impacts the kingdom. I don't think we'll fully explain it. We're not going to fully put it into an explanation. We say, oh wow, now I really see that. I think we can always grow in our understanding of prayer, but when we're looking for some logical explanation before we can believe the actual power of prayer, we're going to miss what God has said. Prayer is a discipline. done in obedience to the Lord of creation, who said we should pray. May the Lord help us in this area that is so central to all our efforts for His kingdom. And even as Christ's prayer, I believe the Lord's prayer in Matthew 6 is a summary of prayer. And it can be used as an outline of prayer. I don't believe it's the fullness of the prayer that Christ intended, but an outline. And so it's guiding our mind through the different areas of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay, you've got here who He is, where He resides, His authority, His power, His exalted transcendence. Hallowed be Thy name, His glory, His holiness, His purity. And those can all be aspects of meditation as we pray. Thy kingdom come. Okay, now it's His will. How do we know what His kingdom is? He's revealed it. How do we know what we pray for? Well, we want His kingdom, His will, His truth to be manifested on the earth and obeyed and loved and honored and revered as it is in heaven. And so that's our objective, first in our own hearts and spreading out into others. And so we're going through all the details. And it's not wrong to pray for our daily needs, because we need those things so our bodies are sustained, so our families are sustained. Why? So we can serve the Lord. It deals with our own hearts. Forgive us as we forgive others. And that's kind of saying, oh wow, do I really want to pray that? Because if I can't forgive, then I'm asking the Lord, well, don't forgive me, because I've already said to you, forgive me as I forgive. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So that can be a guide. You can use that and you can expound and meditate. You could stop on the first Our Father which art in heaven. You could stop there and spend your whole prayer time on that. But you could also move through and use that as an outline. But praying is vital. And so we all constantly need to be exhorted to pray. And so I would exhort you all, as I exhort myself, that the Lord has called us to this important aspect of the Christian life, and may we stand and see His glorious hand working through our feebleness and through our ineffectiveness. As we look at our own flesh, but as we look at ourselves in Christ, we see the power and the glory. So those are just some thoughts on prayer, which I hope will be helpful and challenging to encourage you to continue in your prayer lives. Are there any questions or comments or illustrations that you'd like to add?
Maybe one question that comes up from time to time in different ways. How would you counsel somebody to approach prayer with respect to specific outcomes? Should they pray, Lord, I pray for A, B, C, or D outcome, that A would happen, B would happen, C would happen, D would happen, as opposed to the more broad sweeping, that Your will would be done, that You grant me the grace to stand, that You would provide in whatever way You would provide, but without the specific outcomes. I know sometimes people wrestle with, should they pray that Uncle Joe come to salvation in Christ? Should they pray that a particular house would sell? Should they pray that whatever the specific outcomes? How do you think about that?
No. As long as we're not demanding that God does something that is and is not part of His will. But I think we can pray specifically. I think we can pray specifically that the United States repents of their sin. I think we can pray that God would raise up godly leaders and put them in positions of authority. I think those are all clearly revealed as His will. And we say, Lord, we want a godly president. Now, we can also say, Lord, we realize it's in Your hands. And so we have hearts of humility and repentance as we say, Lord, we don't deserve that. Forgive us for our rebellion. Those aspects would be played off one another. We know many things that God has promised us, so we can pray believing and fervently for them as long as we're in humility. Not my will, but thine be done.
All right, should we spend a few minutes in prayer?